Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord that is ministered today by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're resting upon us. Lord, that your presence is resting here. And Lord, we just cooperate with the rest of the Lord. And let our minds be tuned in to you. And we put aside the cares of the rest of the day. There's so much to do. But Lord, you are the most important thing right now. And you are our focus today. And so, Lord, we thank you as you are our hope, Lord. Teach us more about hope. In Jesus' name, amen. And so today is First Sunday. So we start handing out our new bookmark. And the bookmark is The God of Hope. And so we're going to read the proclamations for that bookmark. And I did bring some Spanish ones in if Pastor Perez wants the Spanish bookmarks for his congregation. Thank you. The God of Hope, because God is hope. Amen. 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 I love the story of Mary, especially when the angel appeared to her and started talking to her about birthing a son and being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. I just love her attitude because, like the scripture says, she didn't question what God was saying to her. She embraced the promise and the word of the Lord that was being spoken over her, but she did have some questions about the details. Yeah. So it is amazing how God sent his son for you and I. And Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And he's the only hope. Amen. All right. So you should have that, and if you don't have it, it's going to be up on the screen. So we're going to read our proclamations about the God of Hope. Now may the God of Hope fill me with all joy and peace in believing that I may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have strong consolation because I have fled to you for refuge, to lay hold of hope set before me. This hope I have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Through the Lord's mercies, I am not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. There I hope in him. Amen, amen. There were many prophecies of the birth of Jesus. And from the very beginning of time, we see in the book of Genesis 3:14. Let's read that together. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so from the very beginning of time, the Lord prophesied. God spoke forth about a Savior that would come through the seed of a woman. Well over 100 times we read about seed and seeds, but in all cases, It's about a man's seed. So from the point of Satan, from that point on, Satan launched an attack to destroy any royal seed. Any children that came through that bloodline, he was destroying because he was thinking it was coming from a male. So you probably recall stories in the scripture when Pharaoh would order the children to be killed. And even after Jesus was born, they ordered children to be killed. And so all along, the devil's trying to destroy the seed that's coming through the genealogies. But Jesus came as the seed of the woman. And it reminds us of the failure that Satan experienced. He could not destroy the bloodline, the messianic line that was coming through the scripture, through the people. The seed of the woman is a unique concept and can be interpreted only as a foreshadowing of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Like Pastor Leonard said, it was the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit that caused her to become pregnant with the Prince of Glory. And when the Prince of Glory, our Prince of Peace, showed up, the Prince of this world had no hold on Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to take a look at Matthew 1:18. And just read through this as we begin our Christmas season. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, because Joseph her husband was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Thank you, Lord. So we hear this story many, many times. But as we really look into the depths of it, we find just such a deep meaning. We see that God was not concerned about putting Mary out on the edge, right? It said she was mocked and people whispered about her and talked about her as she went to the market, but she was in the will of God. So maybe you've been in that situation. You've stayed in the will of God. But people mock you and people talk about you. But you see, God's not concerned about that. God's really not concerned about what other people say. We see that through his life here on the earth. He wasn't concerned about what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were saying about him. He continued to do his Father's will. And that's the kind of heart and mindset we need to have, that, Lord, regardless of how dark the world gets and how peculiar we look to the world, we're still going to serve you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're still going to be obedient because God is with us. It's such a mystery to think that Jesus Christ is in us, the hope of glory. But yet the scripture always tells us that we're in Christ. Such a mystery of how all of that works together. And I can't explain it, but I just believe it, and I want to experience the fullness of God. Hallelujah. I was looking back at some prophetic words. I was with a group yesterday, and we were praying, and the full measure of God kept coming up. One of the intercessors were praying that. And, you know, I looked back in my notes, and, you know, I really appreciate iCloud. You can store all this stuff up there. But back in 2013, the Lord gave me a prophetic word about the full measure coming. The church was maturing. The bride is maturing. And we're coming into the full measure of Christ. And that full measure comes as we walk in unity with one another and with the body of Christ. That there's no divisions among us. And I shared with the intercessors, I said, I feel like I'm to decree this into the atmosphere again. I taught on it many, many years ago. Many of you might remember the teachings on the full measure that God has for us. But I said, you know what? That was 7 years ago when you think of 2020. 2020 is coming up, and the word of the Lord's coming for 2020. And so that's 7 years. That's the completion. Seven is a complete number. And so I believe with all of my heart that we will walk in the full measure of Jesus Christ, and that we will see the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and He will use us mightily out in the marketplace and wherever we're at, because you are able ministers of the gospel. You are the ones that are out in the highways and byways. It's you Jesus is depending upon to share His love and to touch people and help people and heal people. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we're supposed to do. The full measure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Yeah, I get excited about that. The saints doing the work of the ministry. And that's what the scripture says. Isaiah 60 verses 1 through 3. Let's read it together. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. That's you. Tell your neighbor, that's you. That's you. That's exciting. That's you. Most of the time, we don't realize how much of Jesus we're letting out of us, you know, until somebody points it out to you. Or says something to you about you're different. Or I love to be around you. You know, people like to be around Jesus. They flock to Him, right? Hallelujah. All right. So people need hope during times of darkness. And we know that the hope is Christ. This is the time of year when people are more open to hear about Jesus than any other. And so this is a great opportunity to invite people to church, to get them here, and to talk to the Lord about them. There are people out there wandering who do not have a shepherd. And they need a shepherd. They need a Savior. And so this is a great time. And don't forget about our witnessing books. We have witnessing books. Hey, you know, this is the time of year everybody's handing out gifts, right? Okay, so then right there's a gift you can give someone that you know needs some encouragement, needs to hear about the Lord. And I think we have four more testimonies ready. And so we hope to hear from those people this month or by the end of the month or the first of the year so that they can share their testimony with the church. And so if you're writing a testimony, please go ahead, get it written. And we're still sending them down to Laura, and she's editing them, and then they come back, and then Jim takes a look at them. So there's a whole process that we're going through to get these testimonies done. So who's still writing? No one? Oh, Becky is. Okay, and Ron is. Anybody else? All right, well, if the Lord convicts you, you need to write. Oh, someone's feeling convicted. All those feeling convicted, raise your hand. Maybe it'll help you write it, you know. Okay, let's go to John 3:19. You know, the light came into the world, and this is what John said. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. They can hide. People think they're hiding their evil ways. But you know what? God has a way of exposing them. Let's read Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We see that going on in our culture. It's like when you are trained in the Word and you think as a Christian thinks, I can't even connect with where they're coming from. It's so skewed. It's so perverted. The word perversion in the Greek means word twisting. They can take things and twist it. And people who are naive, Scripture talks about naive, being naive, they're deceived then because they don't know the truth. And the prophet is saying, woe to those. When God says woe to someone, that means that something destructive is going to come upon your life. It means God will release judgment upon that. They're not getting away with anything. They think they are. But the devil will let you think you're getting away with something. Come on, that's how he keeps you hooked in there. But when you start, if you read on in this chapter, they're teaching other people how to walk in darkness and how to do evil things. You know, and applauding them and celebrating them because they are. But God says, whoa, whoa. So yes, thick darkness is over the people. God says, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory is seen upon you. Because the darker the world gets, the brighter we should be getting. Because we are disconnecting from the world. Got to encourage people, disconnect from the world. You know, it's like being in a smoke-filled room. You come out of that room smelling like smoke. Sometimes you just got to get on your face before God because you might not even realize what you have connected to. And ask God to disconnect you because he's jealous for you. He loves you. He doesn't want to share you with the world. He wants you to be set apart, holy, holy. Thank you, Lord. Let's read Colossians 1:12-14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What a powerful verse. None of us have anything to brag about because we did not get out of the darkness by ourselves. And so we really have no reason to be judgment and critical to someone who's in the darkness Because what they need is Jesus, just like we needed Jesus to be rescued from that dominion. You know, people often stay away from church because they feel condemned. Well, you know, that comes from the Holy Spirit. He does convict you. He does convict. But we need to pray for those people that they get past that. That it's like a barrier that Satan erects in their minds to keep them from coming. Because there's a whole lot of light in here. There's a whole lot of light when you walk through the doors. Many people say there's a whole lot of love when you walk through the doors. So hallelujah. We're praying for all those folks that we don't see who are gone for the holidays. It'll be good to have them home, right? And they walk through the doors. So show them some love. So Jesus is the light of the world. And we know this, but we're going to read it in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Powerful promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we will follow him, we'll walk in the light. And you know what? In James, it says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for the light. We need the life. And life is in the blood, right? God commanded the light to shine. And we're going to read this. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God commanded that light to shine out of darkness, and he shined it in our hearts. That's how we got set free. All of a sudden, we realized we needed Jesus. Do you remember that moment? Maybe someone here hasn't experienced that yet, but suddenly you realize, I need Jesus. And it really doesn't even matter if no one has ever told you that. There is something on the inside of you that automatically knows you need Jesus. It's in everyone. Dr. Summerall said he would travel into the jungles and people would know what was right and wrong. They would know not to steal someone else's lamb. They would know not to have sex with someone else's husband or wife. They just knew that. Nobody had told them about Jesus, but there's something on the inside of us that has this barometer. We know how to navigate what's right and wrong. The thing is our nature, our carnal nature, is evil all the time. People think about evil things, what they can do that's evil. They thought about evil continually is what the Lord said in the Old Testament. He talked about how people's minds were constantly on evil things. So you see, we can get hooked into this fallen nature. But yet there is something in us. We know it's wrong. But when you ignore that enough, the Bible says you sear your conscience. And pretty soon it doesn't even bother you. But you know, the first time, the second time, the third time, it's just like, I got to stop that. You know, I can't do that again. You know that. But if we continue in sin, it's like everything, our conscience just gets seared. And then eventually God says, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And that happens. Read about it in the book of Romans, because we're going on because we're talking about the light of the world. A great light has come into the world, and that is the Messiah, the Savior. Let's read Matthew 4:16-17. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. And from that time on, Jesus preached repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is here. We want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then we must repent. The scripture says, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom. You know, Jesus met up with a man named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, "How in the world can I be born again? I can't climb back in my mother's womb." Well, that's really weird. He probably thought, who is this guy talking about? But Jesus explained it to him, and he was born again. By the water, he was baptized, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you can enter into the kingdom of God. You can see the kingdom. It's two different things there. But let's go on. We're going to read our last verse. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We are kept by the power of God through faith. God will keep us. He will keep us. We have to trust him that he will keep us. You know, the scripture says faith without works is dead. So faith is actually an action word. It's an action word. We have faith. And we have a living hope. We just read about it. He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This hope that we have is alive. Jesus Christ is our hope, and Jesus is alive. It's a living hope. He's our living hope, and he's living inside of us to encourage us, to give us hope. You know, hope is in the future. Okay? Faith is in the present. Faith and hope aren't the same thing. But faith is in the present. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. So faith is a substance. We have faith in God. We have faith in the Word of God. We have faith that the power of God is going to keep us. We trust in the Lord. Our faith is there, and it's the substance. It's the foundation that we build our hope upon, because we know we have a greater future. God always has something greater. God is not a God of subtraction. He is a God of increase. He adds to your life. He adds to your life. Thank you, Lord. So hope is in the future. Hope is something that we looked forward to. And what are we looking forward to? Well, we're looking forward to a lot of things. But we need to recognize that hope is built upon faith. Faith is here and now, and we have it right now because God has promised it. And so our hope is in the Lord and in the future that these things will come to pass. That one day we will live with the Lord forever in eternity. We have that hope. It's an eternal hope. I don't want to live in this world forever, do you? No. No, but nobody wants to go too soon either, right? You know, Paul said, I feel caught in the middle here, you know, to I want to go and be with the Lord, but I know that I need to stay. To live is Christ, to die is gain. But he said, I feel like I'm caught here. Because his desire was to go, but his work wasn't done. But when your work is done, my mom always said, when my work is done, don't put me on any type of resuscitation. Don't revive me, because when my work is done, I just want to go and be with the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. So we look for that blessed hope, right? Yes, Titus talks about the blessed hope that we look for. And it is the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our hope. And you know what? There is nothing you can take to heaven except for your family and friends. You know, we work so hard to get everything else, but the only thing you can take to heaven is your family and friends. And so we should be working extra hard to make sure that our families and our friends are saved, that they know Jesus Christ, because everyone sitting here today is preparing for eternity. The question is, what eternity are you preparing for? We want to be right with the Lord. And you know what? You can be right with the Lord. Is our praise team up here? Come on up, praise team. We are so thankful for all God has done for us. He's a good, good Father. And I'm thankful for each one of you. So this coming Sunday, Prophetess Ina Carr is going to come in and preach on the 8th. And she always has a good word for the church. She's fired up, ready to come. And then the week after that, on the 15th, we have Mayor-elect Rod Robertson coming. And he is our guest speaker that day. And so Brother Rod will be here. And he's a man of God. He's a Christian. And I wanted to just have the church know who the mayor is and hear his heart. Because his heart is for people to know the Lord and to be a help and a servant here in Elkhart community. So we're looking forward to that. And then before we sing this last song, I do have one more big announcement. And I'm glad you're here this morning. January 12th, Sunday, January 12th, which is the second Sunday in January, our own bishop, Bill Hammond, will be with us that day. Apostle Lena and I have been talking about it, and when Apostle was with him in October, he talked to Bishop about it, and Bishop prayed and about it. And yesterday, Apostle Leon called me in the morning, and he said, "Bishop's coming." So we are very honored. We'll have both our spiritual fathers here. Very honored to have them come. Bishop hasn't been to this location. He came when we were downtown. And so that is January 12th. And so I want you to help spread the word, get the news out. The bishop is coming, and he'll be here for the Sunday morning service and the Sunday evening service. And Apostle Leon will be with him. So it will be power-packed. And so we should do our best to pack this place out. Amen? Amen. Bishop travels the world. He's international more than he's in the nation. And so I had hesitated to ask him because I didn't want to be intruding, whatever. But I know he would say, "I'll pray about it." And God doesn't let you intrude, right? And so it's just the time. It's the time for Bishop to be here. For Bishop to come. And so Apostle Leon talked to him when he was at IGAP, and it just all fell together. So I am very, very thankful. These two men of God are amazing, and their families, they're just amazing. And so we thank God for them, and you get to meet them. So, yay. That's what I say, yay.